Thank you so much. I need a helmet just in case, right? Great. I think I'm supposed to be here. I see an X over here, so I think I'm supposed to be here. Anyway, it's great to see you all this afternoon and to be able to open up God's Word and to talk with you about this. Now, the title, Keeping What's First First, I know some churches would say you're talking about the offering. No, that's not the topic, right? We're going to be talking about a passage. Let's go to the next slide, which is in Romans 14, verses 16 to 19. That may be a very common verse that we know. But as my pastoral time at IBC comes to an end, I want to emphasize certain key things that I feel are critical for our church. And what I'm going to talk about today, I did mention a couple of weeks ago, but it doesn't matter. I still want to mention this verse because I think it's so absolutely essential. It's talking about putting first things first. Let's go to the verse, okay? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The kingdom of God is a sphere where God is acknowledged as supreme ruler. To seek His kingdom is to submit ourselves to the King. And, you know, this is not a secondary issue. It says seek what? First, right? Let's go back. It says seek first the kingdom of God. And so the first things first, what God wants us to do above all things is to seek His kingdom. And that means that we do so in our families, in our work, in our church, in everything we do. We are to seek first the kingdom of God, His reign. We are to allow Him to reign in our lives and through our lives and through our lives to grow the kingdom wherever we might be. Now, it's not surprising because this is first that we're told to pray for it. You recall the Lord's Prayer. In fact, about 3 years ago, we had a series on the Lord's Prayer. But look at this verse here. It says, when you pray, do so like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name or your name. Then comes the first petition. Your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're taught to want God's kingdom to be in this world, God's reign, which begins in our lives. Actually, when I pray that way, I am saying, Lord, in this little bit of space where I occupy, that I occupy, may you reign there, right? May that be your kingdom. May you have absolute control over this life and this space. And from here out, may I be used to expand the kingdom, your great kingdom. And so as this happens, then we put first things first. Now, you know something? I think we're still on the earth. Well, maybe I could ask another question. When you and I come to faith in Christ, why doesn't God just take us to heaven? Wouldn't it be easier? I mean, life is tough. Can I get a witness? And all the people said, life is tough. James. You hear the groans. I feel sorry for you. The life is difficult. Why doesn't God just take us to heaven and it's all wonderful and glory? Well, I think God wants us to grow the kingdom. That's why we're here. That's our purpose. And so if you're not plugged into growing the kingdom first, then you are not in harmony with the purpose for which God has placed you in this world. So I hope you're understanding or seeing more clearly that, yeah, when we keep first things first, that means keeping the kingdom of God first, working for the kingdom, allowing the kingdom to possess us as it were. So today I want to ask three questions that can help motivate us to keep what's first first, okay? Three questions. First question. What happens when we don't keep what's first first? In other words, when we don't give the importance of the kingdom that the kingdom deserves. Well, it's simply that we allow other things, secondary things, to take the place of what should be first. You know, we never live in a vacuum. We will live for something. We're just made that way. And if it's not the king and his kingdom, it'll be something else. Maybe not something bad. There are things in the Christian church that are good things, but they're not to be the very first things. And we can give ourselves to those things in one way or the other. This is a problem that we see in Romans chapter 14. Look at the verse here, verse 16. It says, "So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, or meat and drink." Now, let me give you the background. This doesn't, of course, make much sense, right? Here's the deal. In the church at Rome, there were many Jewish believers. And they had come out of Judaism, right? They had been following the Mosaic Law, which is very strict in many ways. For example, you don't eat meat that has blood in it. An animal has to be killed a certain way, what we call today kosher, and so forth. But there were certain believers in Rome who knew that, you know, food and drink no longer have importance in Christ, right? That's the old Mosaic Law, which has been superseded in Christ. And so they were flaunting their liberty. They were going to places and eating whatever they wanted to eat, sometimes with these weak Jewish believers, new believers, and the weak believers were having their consciences really just strained. How can this be that this mature Christian is eating this stuff? I cannot do so. And so there was a lack of love. And you see, the focus of these mature Christian believers was really not on God's kingdom. It was on their liberty, right? I like being free. I like doing what I like doing, and I feel good about it. That's number one. So they were really stumbling, these weak believers. But you see, if their focus had been truly on the kingdom of God, they would have said, you know, I will forego my rights to eat or to drink when I'm around these people until they can mature and grow and understand that in Christ we are absolutely free. And so for the sake of the kingdom, that's what they should have done, but they were not doing that. They were not helping these young believers to build the kingdom. They were simply thinking about their own priorities. That's where something that is good, let not what you regard as good, liberty in Christ, that's a good thing, right? Of course it is. But it was being spoken evil of because of the way that they were acting. And folks, it's so easy to get off on secondary issues in the Christian church. We give ourselves so passionately to things that ultimately aren't that important. We get spit over all kinds of things as a church. I heard of a church, this is true, who got in a huge fight about the color of the carpet in the church, the new carpet. Now, is a carpet wrong in the church? We don't have a carpet. Why do you have a carpet up here? That's the wrong color. No. I mean, that's really secondary, right? Another church I heard about, they had a fight because of the piano. Should the piano be in this side or on that side? Well, that's so insignificant. Is it good to have a piano? Yes, it is. But you see, when you lose your focus on the kingdom, the passion is not getting God's kingdom going and moving ahead and winning people to Christ, then you put your eyes on secondary things. And the church is full of secondary things, and that's why we don't live with a passion for what's first. We make first what's not first, and that causes all kinds of problems. Now, there are people that I know that every time the church door is open, I'm not talking about IBC, but let's just say churches I've been to. They're always there, right? They're doing their duty, and people say, wow. But at home, they're not being very good parents, or not very good partners or whatever. And so what they're doing, they're really not doing what's necessary to promote the kingdom, right? Now, being in the church and helping is a good thing. But what God wants you to do is to live for the kingdom in every area of your life, that would be the passion of your soul. That's what God really wants. And the end result of getting off on secondary issues is again that your freedom or whatever will be spoken evil of. That is, well, in the Good News Translation it says, do not let what you regard as good get a bad name. Be careful what you're doing. Is what you're doing really to promote the kingdom of God? In the music group, It's so easy. I'm not talking at all in a critical way here, but I'm a musician myself, and I've sung. You want to hear? I used to be better, but anyway. How much flesh comes in, right? Now, is music good? Yes, it's good. But you can be trying to not really promote the kingdom, promote your own kingdom. You. Here I am, folks. Listen to me. And that happens all the time. And Paul is saying, folks, the kingdom of God isn't meat or drink or anything. It's something else. And it needs to be prioritized. It needs to be number one in our lives. Otherwise, we get off on rabbit trails going here and there, and we wind up not promoting the kingdom, but being very busy. But are we advancing the cause of Christ? We need to keep things first. And you know, when we do that, we become balanced people. I've always seen that people who live, and I'm a discipler. When I disciple, especially young people, I always encourage them to live for evangelism, for the kingdom of God. And when they do that, then other parts of their lives kind of fall into balance. Right? And I think that's what Paul is trying to tell us here, to live for what's first, and other things will take their place. Heard about a church that, this is true, They were going to have a Christmas party, and a group of them decided to have this great big Christmas tree in the room. You know, normal. We have a Christmas tree here at Christmas, right? I guess now it's on that side. It used to be over here. Now they moved the piano. Mm-hmm. And so another group thought, no, a tree is pagan. Comes from pagan time, so no tree. Well, this became the big thing. Now, the party was there to expand the kingdom, right? But here they were fighting back and forth. The day of the party, the tree party people brought the tree in. They dragged this huge tree in. And the anti-party, anti-tree people drug it out. Well, the pro-tree people said, no way, they drug it back in. And then things erupted. It got so bad that they got into a fist fight. Jesus loves you. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, that's majoring on the minors. The first thing, what was the first thing? The kingdom of God. Forget that stupid tree. Can I say stupid? I'm only a pastor here for a short time long. I'll say it. Don't you say it, James. I'll say it. That stupid tree. Anyway. But you get what I'm saying, right? When the kingdom isn't what it should be, isn't, we don't keep what first, we get off on so many things that weaken us, and we don't promote the kingdom. And I see churches all over struggling with this. We need a passion for God's kingdom, a passion for the King. Now, I've been in ministry, you know how many years? I've been in ministry 49 years. How can that be? I'm only 50 years old. I used to preach holding on my diapers. Yeah. And folks, I don't know. I have a passion. I'm not a bit tired of the kingdom of God. Oh my God, give me another 50 years. Because that's His will. First things first. That's what counts. Oh, dear people, hear me. Hear me. Second question, if we're going to keep first things first, this is a positive one, okay? What happens when we do keep what's first? Well, the simple answer is that when we do keep what's first, the essential characteristics of the kingdom show up, okay? They're manifested. Look at the verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you keep first things first, this is what shows up. And it's not forced. The Holy Spirit is at work and makes these things show up. Well, this is really the essence, I believe, of the reign of God in our midst, these three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at each one. We already have the first one in yellow. So righteousness, which means a holy, obedient life, but it begins with being right with God, a life of righteousness. And living in this way should always be more precious to us than the exercise of our own liberties, as it were. Even though those liberties are God-given, we are to be sure that all of our righteousness is exercised out of a passion for the kingdom of God. I like the verse in Philippians that says that we're filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Folks, if you live with a passion for the kingdom, there's going to be righteousness in your life. Your life will be right. I deal with so many people who struggle with pornography, and I'm stepping on toes here today. You don't have a passion for the kingdom of God, for righteousness. Maybe you don't want that, because that would change your life. But folks, the world needs Jesus. And so what I need to do is say, Lord, it doesn't matter. You are going to be first. Your kingdom, your purposes, they will be first. I want to live a righteous life for your glory. And then things begin to happen. We don't hold on to resentment. We walk in harmony with others. We put the kingdom first. And we experience peace. Peace. This is loving tranquility produced by the Spirit that should characterize believers in the relationship with God and also with one another. Again, when the kingdom is first, I'm living for God's kingdom, the King and the kingdom, I will live at peace with others, because that's so much more important than whether you looked at me wrong. Did you see the way she looked at me? You know what I did? You don't do that either, right? It doesn't matter. It's the kingdom of God. So I walk in peace because I'm totally controlled and filled and moved and motivated by God's kingdom. His will on this earth, his plans for this earth, that's what fills me, folks. And folks, that's what keeps me fresh. That's why I'm not one bit tired of being in ministry. Hey, man, was that the baby or was that you? I wasn't sure. If the baby says it, well, out of the mouth of children, of babes, right? Yeah. You're a smart boy, yeah. Ah, dear people, this is so critical. Peace. If I'm going to put what's first first, I will see peace, but I must put what's first first. And then we see joy. Joy. I remember a song, an old hymn. Nowadays, nobody knows hymns, but it was called "There is Joy in Serving Jesus." Anybody know that song? I doubt it. Okay, uninformed people. That's okay, yeah. There is joy in serving Jesus. And it's true. It really is true. But this, again, is another fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who produces joy. He produces peace. He produces righteousness. Go to Galatians 5. We see the fruits of the Spirit. And so this is an abiding fruit of praise and thanksgiving independent of our circumstances. That's the important thing. You see, we believe in God's confidence, God's sovereignty. I can have peace in the worst of circumstances because I know God is sovereign. And so praise God. Did I have a problem? Praise God. I know it's easy to say, and I'm not saying every time. I just say, Lord, send me problems. I love it. No, that's not true. But when I go through difficulties, if I believe that God's in control, the Holy Spirit gives me joy. And that's a sign of the kingdom, right? Where the kingdom reigns, there's righteousness and there's peace and there's joy. What a wonderful thing. If we're all here passionate about the kingdom, folks, we are going to experience righteousness and peace and joy. What could be a better place to be than IBC for all these things? Nowhere. I don't want to be yelling too much, but I'm getting excited. Amen! Amen. Give me that amen again back there. Ah, oh, now I'm going to really get going. Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about living for not for the externals, but for the eternals. Because you see, the Holy Spirit brings us fruit, and that has eternal value. So we live for the eternals when we live for God's desires and God's plans. When we major on kingdom matters and not on our own little matters, then we live for eternals. Then verse 18 says, "For whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men." Thus means what he's just been talking about. And we're acceptable to God, approved by men. When people see you live this way, normally speaking, they will say, "Wow, even non-Christians, that's a good life. That impresses me." And that's the way God wants you and me to live. Many years ago, in Mexico City, you know, that's my hometown, there was a group of friends of mine who would meet regularly at a coffee shop. I don't know how often, but anyway, regularly, every week at least once, and they would have coffee and share. But where I grew up, in the group I grew up in, you always carried your Bible, right? And the bigger the better, right? Really spiritual, right? And they would share their Bibles. They really would open their Bibles on the table, and they'd be talking and sharing, and sometimes they'd pray, and they just loved to be with one another. And later, a lady who would come also regularly to the coffee shop and would observe them, she came up to them one day and said, "I can't stand this anymore. Please tell me, how can you love each other so much? I just see something here I've never seen anywhere." Well, folks, these young people were passionate for the kingdom. They were witnessing for Christ. They were coming together to encourage one another. And these fruits of the kingdom were being expressed in their lives because the kingdom was priority for them. And dear people, this is what happens when we do keep what's first. And this is what God wants you and he wants me to do as well. So maybe you're thinking, "Well, I sure want to live this way. I would love to live this way." And that's the last, so the last question is for you. What must happen to keep what's first first? What do I have to do? Okay, we've just seen that keeping first things first can be a challenge, right? It's easy to allow other things, even good things, to kind of push the kingdom, the number one thing in the kingdom, to the side. So how can we keep first things first? Well, think about it. How do you manage to keep any priority being the first thing? We all have priorities, right? And what do you do to keep that particular thing a priority? It's a good question. Take health, for example. Health. Now imagine somebody getting to 80 years old. 80 used to sound old to me. Folks, it's sounding better and better. You know, so say you get to 80 years old and you are strong and vigorous. And you say, "Yes, this is so amazing, I'm so healthy, I have been living on chips and chocolate and Coke all these years, and wow, what vigor, and sitting on the couch every day." Probably not, right? If you're going to accomplish a high goal, which would be to have good health, you probably have a better lifestyle. Or take marriage. You have the goal of having a great relationship. You know that phrase, "and they lived happily ever after"? Let me disappoint you. It's a lie. I'm sorry, folks. I'll pray with you later. Come up to see me after the meeting, right? Yeah, sorry, right. Well, the truth is that a solid relationship demands a solid commitment. To one day and in 2 days and 1 week and 2 weeks and 1 month and 10 years, and this year we turned 47 years married. Both of us married, right? Yeah. You know, I heard, I read in the 2005 Guinness Book of World Records that Percy and Florence Arrowsmith from England held the record of the longest marriage of a living couple. Now, since then, they've died, but at that point, they were holding the record. He died at 105, not bad. She was 102 when she died, and they were married 80 years. Well, they left good advice for those who would like to have a lasting marriage. I'll quote what she said here. She said, "You must never go to sleep bad friends." I love that. You must never go to sleep bad friends. Remember the Bible says, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." Then she goes on, "If you've had a quarrel, you must make it up. Never be afraid to say sorry." In other words, there's commitment, right? They're reaching their goal because there's an element of firm commitment. Now, the good man here was a bit more humorous. He said the secret to his long marriage were just two words. "Yes, dear." Either way, they reached this goal because there was a commitment. And folks, like all valuable things, the kingdom takes on form in our lives through purposeful, committed initiative. It doesn't happen by chance. This is what we see in verse 19. It says, "So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." Now, Paul here is summarizing in the second part of the verse what he's been saying, things that help build up believers so that they can do their part in the kingdom of God. But the word "pursue" I really like. It's a very strong word in the original language. You know, the kingdom values are not promoted by a half-hearted commitment, right? "Well, let's see if I can make things first." You won't, right? Nothing good, that's what we're saying, comes by chance. You need dogged commitment to the goals. So, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Let me read a couple of translations here, what they say with this "pursue." The NIV says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace," and so forth, right? To make every effort. Okay, it's a strong word, right? Another version says, "So then let us pursue with enthusiasm what brings about the best." Another one says, "So let us then definitely aim for and eagerly pursue the goal." So the command here to pursue is dynamic, involving intentionality, persistence, and urgency. If you're going to make first things first in your life, if you're going to pursue the kingdom, it's not going to happen by chance. It must be intentional, must be persistent, it must be urgent. That's the key to keeping what's first first. By the way, have you ever pursued somebody? You know what that means? Some of you may not understand that. If you like somebody, you pursue them. It doesn't mean you ran after them every time. That's not that, right? But, you know, you're always like, "Oh, there comes Susie." So you, "Oh, what a surprise. Hi." You were there, right? Yeah. I think some people understand me here. Oh, you manipulators. No. Anyway, well, pursuit, right? In other words, Paul is calling in the whole church to live a life of pursuit. There's no middle ground. This is what I want to get across today. If you're going to promote the kingdom, it's got to be pursuing, which means giving it all you have, everything. Allá vamos, we say in Spanish. We want to promote the kingdom, so our focus must be on the priorities of the kingdom. We want to keep the main thing at all times. Even if it means we have to forsake our liberties. You know, sometimes folks in the pastorate, people come up to me, they say things, they do things that I do not like. Do you think that because I'm a pastor, nothing matters. I just bless them all. Bless you. Bless you. No, it's sometimes tough, okay? But if I'm building the kingdom, who cares? If they insult me, I mean, it happens, folks, okay? You say, it doesn't matter. The greatest thing, the first thing is God's kingdom. So who cares? I'm going to do what God wants. And that's the way we need to live, pursuing the kingdom. And my wife and I are stepping out. As you know, we're leaving IBC, not because we don't love you. In fact, it's not easy, but we came here. You know, Sam, we came here years ago to start a new ministry. In fact, the only time in my life, in my 49 years of ministry, that I've ministered in English is in IBC, these 7 years. So when I quit ministering in English, I go back to normal, okay? But we plan to continue on because we are passionate about the kingdom. And as long as God gives us health and a mind, I think I have a mind. Of course, you have to judge. I can't really, I'm hoping. But as long as God gives us these good things, folks, it's all about the kingdom. How am I going to give up? I can't give up. I can't sit still. My wife says, just sit still. Would you give us a... Yeah. And you know something? My wife said this, and I think she's so right. She said, you know, living for the kingdom makes every decade better. Living for the kingdom, growing in passion for the kingdom makes every decade better. Folks, my wife and I are happier than we've ever been before. Now, she's not here right now, so maybe that's why. No, not really. But... yeah, we share a passion. We share a vision. It's God's kingdom. That's what moves us. And that's God's will for you, just as it is for us. Now, I want to close giving three suggestions for pursuing the priority of the kingdom. Okay? First of all, pursue the king. This is where it starts. In the passage, the same chapter, but a few verses before this, look what it says. It says, for none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And so we pursue him. It's all about him, dear people. It's all about the king. I'm in his kingdom. I'm to do his will. That's what I'm here for. But it's about him. Whatever he wants, however long he gives me life and strength and a mind, I'm living for him. Folks, this is what it's all about. Pursue him. Spend time with him. Get to know him. Out of your relationship with the king is where the kingdom work comes, right? The passion comes. You can't make up passion. You know, just... passion, passion, passion. You become passionate. It doesn't work that way, folks. It's being with the king, right? Secondly, pursue others, and I mean here, brothers and sisters in the kingdom. Pursue each other. Pursue each other. It doesn't mean saying, na, wie geht's? Gut. I did that. I fulfilled my duty. Pursuing is much more. I care about you. Now, you can't care about everybody. You don't have the time. But you must have people that you really care about, to whom you reach out. Their life is important. Why do I do counseling? Because I just kind of do counseling? No, because it's a way of reaching out to help people, to love people. That's what it's all about. And that's normal that we should be that way. Pursue, again, give yourself with intention, with commitment, with persistence to people. This is the individual focus. And then a more of a collective focus will be the last one. Pursue your church. This is the kingdom's local battle station. Unfortunately, because of the war in Ukraine, we kind of know what that's all about, right? The army is in some place, a certain area, and they have to be strong there to hold on to their place so that they can advance or keep the enemy from coming. Well, this is a battle station. And this means that if we're going to be strong, we have to have strong soldiers. Okay? People who are really committed to making this work. Folks, I am grieved in my spirit when I see people who come here and sit and warm benches. That is their specialty. Warm the chairs. Folks, the chairs do fine without you. You understand what I mean? You are to come here and you are to pursue this church. This church is where God has me. Even if you're not a member, He has me now for this time here. I'm going to get involved and give myself. What can I do? My wife, was it last week? Got up here and gave an announcement for the need for volunteers for the kids. Well, that's fine. But actually, she shouldn't have to get up here and say anything. We should be pursuing the church. Where can I help? What can I do? Where am I needed? Because we're growing the kingdom. That's a priority. And many of us don't live that way. I just long in my heart that this would be a church where the kingdom heart is just beating, boom, 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 okay? And that James would have the privilege of having people who are pursuing him saying, how can I serve? Where can I serve? I can't sleep at night because I'm not serving. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Yes. Thank you, buddy. You're with me all the way. Well, that could go on, right? But the point is clear. If you're going to keep what's first, the kingdom of God, you must pursue it with everything you are. There's no point of neutrality, dear people. And the benefit is that you will be more and more fulfilled. You know, I wouldn't want to be one day younger. I don't like getting old. You know, I stretch my skin every morning. It didn't help. But anyway, but all this experience, all these opportunities and all these things that God gives me, I say, wow, what a privilege. And I see all these people. I know people who are wealthy. They sit there and they're thinking, now, what can I buy today, right? They have 4,700 purses. Could I buy a 4,701st purse? Yes, you can. But does that bring fulfillment? No. It's the kingdom of God. You were born to promote the kingdom of God. So people, I just hope that these words penetrate in the deepest part of your heart because they're from my heart to you. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the privilege. For the privilege of being your co-workers in the kingdom under your great leadership. Father, may we take this seriously. May you give no one rest until they pursue the right things and live a life that is balanced and that is glorifying to your great name. Bless this church in this way, that there would be obedience, that there would be a life of pursuit for the good things, for the right things, for the highest things, making first things first. We pray it in the name of our King Jesus. Amen.